Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover Chapter 12, which will cover SAP ERP and the various modules which make up the SAP ERP. So, let's start with the introduction. We are going to mainly cover the features, you know, the main features of SAP, how it is different over the other ERPs, the SAP journey from the time of inception in 1970, what are the preparations required if one has to implement SAP? What are the various types of approaches used for SAP implementation? And a couple of modules which are available in SAP. And finally, we summarize the learning for the chapter. So coming to the introduction, it is a leading ERP software that stands for systems, applications, and products. Now, when you say leading ERP, it is one of the most widely implemented ERP software globally. Partly, we will come to why it is so popular and why it is so widely implemented across various industries. It offers shorter implementation time and provides the fastest financial payback compared to other ERP systems. Today, the SAP ecosystem, in terms of consultants, in terms of the functional experts, it's so vast. There are so many people available in the market that it makes it extremely easy to find people for implementation of SAP. And that is the reason you are able to implement SAP in the shortest possible time. There was a time SAP took much longer to implement as compared to the other ERP. But owing to the expertise which has been built over the years, the entire thing has changed today. SAP is the second most expensive ERP system after Oracle, but its rapid financial reimbursement is advantageous for the business. Now, I really cannot comment on this because it also depends on which version of SAP you are going to use, what are the modules that you are taking along with the SAP. But if we go with this statement, obviously, you know, because of the very wide implementation, large number of licenses which are sold, they may be more competitive in the market, even in terms of the license fee, etc. SAP SE, this is a German-based multinational, or it's a German company, and they specialize in this enterprise software. In fact, they were one of the pioneers in terms of the ERP systems. So it offers a comprehensive software package that integrates all areas of the business, and this is true for any ERP. So when you say enterprise resource planning, it means it covers all the activities of the enterprise from A to Z. And it's the same with SAP. SAP provides end-to-end solutions for financial, manufacturing, logistics, distribution, and more. And what are those more? There are a lot of other modules. There are other, functionalities which are provided by SAP. One example will be, the supplier relationship management or customer relationship management. So we will also talk about this a little later in the presentation. Its integrated approach allows for seamless execution of business processes by sharing common information across the departments. Now, what was happening is that in the earlier days, the ERP systems did cover entire process, but they were weak in certain areas. And what companies did was they bought modules from other companies. One example I'll give you, CRM. Now, most companies in the past used to implement the CRM from Salesforce. Why? Because they were the best. So gradually what has happened is SAP has also developed the capabilities of their modules. And by integrating it, you don't need to take a third-party application and integrate it into SAP. You basically have a SAP module which integrates perfectly with the thing. So, this is something like when we say iPhone, the operating system of the iPhone is designed for an iPhone. Look at Android. The operating system is designed for a variety of instruments made by different companies. So, the match or the mismatch is very noticeable in case of Android, So this is the kind of a difference. When you buy a module which belongs to the same company as the ERP supplier, it's important to note that implementing any ERP system, including SAP ERP, requires careful planning, resources, and training. And we'll come to this in more details because, you know, what kind of planning is required, what kind of resources and training is required, we will go into a little more depth. And it does require a lot of planning. Let me tell you, otherwise, you will not get the full benefits of the implementation. It involves significant investment in terms of time, money, and change management efforts. And this last phrase, you know, change management, is very important. Why do we say that? Because whenever we are implementing a ERP system, be it SAP or any other system, you are reviewing all your business practices and you are trying to adopt the best practices which are prevalent at that point of time. So, and the investment is not simply in terms of, you know, the license that you pay or the modules that you purchase or subscribe to, but also in terms of the consultants you engage, the internal resources that you have to deploy for implementation of ERP, and that's quite an effort. So some of the main features, centralized data. So in SAP, you know, the database is all in one place. There are various tables, but all the tables, you know, which we call collectively as a database, are stored in one single place. So you may have operations spread across geographies or different locations within the country or across the world, but the data will be stored in one place. And this option is given to the company which is implementing the ERP. Like, for example, we used to have the data stored locally a couple of decades ago. As time progressed, we had a single database for the entire country at one single location. A time came, since I worked for a European multinational, the entire data, including the Indian data, was stored in Europe at one single site. And finally, we actually migrated to the cloud storage system, where the company doesn't have to maintain servers, don't have to invest in system administration, etc. Because all these things are taken care of by the people who take care of your data, which is on the cloud. The second part is the automation. So by centralizing the processes and information, SAP ERP enables automation of tasks such as data extraction and customer account management, freeing up time for the employees to focus on other business tasks. So once you configure the SAP ERP and once you define your policies, which can be defined in terms of the parameters that you set within the SAP system, it will drive a number of things. Like, for example, if you have a MRP system, the moment you load your forecast, it will work out what is the inventory that you have, what are the productions which are planned, and what is the fresh production that you will have to plan in the coming months. And this horizon can be as long as 6 months, 1 year, or even can be beyond, depending upon the nature of the business or the company. So the forecast is then going to drive the MRP, which will tell you that when all are you going to require the material and when you should be initiating the procurement of those material in terms of, raising a purchase requisition. Even the purchase requisition is actually generated by the SAP system. All that someone has to do, there are overrides provided where somebody has to confirm it, meaning they call it a release of the purchase requisition. So what happens is, by doing this, and how this is done, for example, there is a material, the lead time for which is 1 week, then you have the flexibility that you can actually order the material, maybe 10 days before. There is another material, which is the imported material, having a lead time of 3 months. So there, if you need the material by a particular date, you need to initiate the procurement of it 3 months in advance. So once you have defined the lead times in the system, or the time required to, you know, custom clear the goods, or time required to carry out the quality inspection, etc., the system will work it backwards, and it will tell you exactly when you should be releasing the purchase requisition. And then it's a matter of just the manager or responsible person who will be releasing the purchase requisition, so that the purchase department, the purchase executive, can start acting on it. That means he can, you know, call for the quotations, or he can even release a purchase order. Program accessibility. So SAP ERP can be deployed on premise or in the cloud, which we already discussed, that you can have the servers which are there on your premises can be globally centralized at one particular place, or it can be also in the cloud. That means managed by, you know, people like Amazon or Microsoft. Because the example that I gave, we used to have the cloud services from Azure. So the flexibility is there. And also it cuts down on the resources that you require within. And normally these companies, they offer you the security in terms of the data security, also in terms of outages or loss of data, corruption of the data, etc. So, and mobile functionality allows employees to access and track the information on the go. So mobile functionality is today, the new versions of SAP even allow you to access SAP functions on the mobile device. So you do not have to, you know, necessarily have a laptop or a desktop, or, you know, you can access and you can even carry out transactions through a mobile device. So some of the main features, globalization. So SAP ERP supports operations in multiple countries and includes currency conversions functionalities, making it suitable for international business. Just to give an example, again, we were a multinational company, or we are a multinational company, and you know, we are having a lot of intra-company transfers, etc. So the company in Europe places an order on the entity in India. It will automatically be processed. The material will be promised as to when the material will be ready, when it will be shipped, and when it will be reaching the country. Other things like, you know, the customs or the currency conversions in terms of value, etc., all these things are managed on the same platform. So you can imagine that having a system which integrates your operations globally, and this is possible with SAP. Of course, it may be possible with other leading ERP modules also, but SAP is one of the most popular ones for this kind of a scenario. Visualization. So real-time data visualization in SAP ERP allows for quick decision making, identification of bottlenecks, and efficient problem solving. So you have the options of having various dashboards, etc., which not only print out reports or give you reams of data, but it gives you a lot of information which helps you to quickly make decisions. So this is the difference, you know, when you are visualizing the data. Revenue boost. So SAP ERP contributes to revenue growth by optimizing employee time. So like we saw, you know, a lot of things can be automated by defining the policies, defining the lead times, defining your processing time. And, it takes away this kind of mundane jobs from the employees, leaving them to do more value-added jobs. So providing insights into business processes, tracking financial management, and ensuring streamlined operations and cost analysis. So this is how it boosts the revenue, because it helps you to, you know, focus on key business areas, including growing the business, growing the sales, marketing efforts, etc. Let's compare now SAP over the other ERP systems. So SAP is a market leader, which we already saw in the ERP industry, has been chosen by a majority of the world's largest companies over other ERP systems. This has happened over the years that more and more companies, initially there were a lot of players in the ERP segment, but over the period of years, many companies have switched over now to SAP. So SAP is today one of the most popular systems, ERP systems. So world's largest companies over other ERP systems, demonstrating its superiority and reliability in meeting their business needs. Then why SAP is better than the other ERP software? So let's see what are the benefits, you know, that SAP offers. So first one is versatility. So SAP caters to the business of all sizes. All sizes, every kind of business. So you can have a business of mining, you can have a retail business, you have a engineering business, a chemical business. And mind you, because the processes can be very different, like the output or the production in a mine is different from an output in an engineering company or an automobile company or a chemical company or an FMCG company where you are making appliances, etc. So every kind of industry can be handled or catered to by SAP. So this is one of the biggest advantage. And what they have done as they have evolved over the years, they have built the functionality to cover every kind of industry. In fact, some of the popular supermarkets in India, they also use SAP. So you can imagine, and these are back-to-back integrated with their supply chain systems and even sometimes with the systems of their suppliers, the vendors. Scalability, so it can be scaled from a very a small organization, a medium-sized organization to a large corporate, spread globally. So the example that I gave you, of my company, we were operating in some 26 countries across the globe. And mind you, we were all integrated with SAP. And that gives you some idea of what is the kind of, integration which is possible with SAP or the scalability as we talk. So SAP's three-tier client-server architecture allows for flexibility and easy adoption to changing business needs by acquiring new features and upgrading system. So you can, as you go along, let us say that you have bought a basic ERP system, but as you go along, you want to buy certain modules. Like one example I give you, traditionally, ERP systems used to run on MRP, material requirement planning, and the material requirement planning used to work based on forecast. But today, you have the system of demand-driven planning, or they call it also demand-driven MRP. Now here, you are planning production based on firm orders. And the entire planning system or the material requirement system is different. So you want to actually acquire this module, then you can do that. So you can start with the basic features and then you can actually acquire modules or features, for upgrading your system as your business is growing. Next one is user friendly. So despite its complexity, SAP remains simple and user friendly, shortening the learning curve through in-depth case studies and eliminating unnecessary functions. So it is one of the most complex systems because I remember I have worked on different ERP systems before moving on to SAP. And let me tell you that number of parameters or configuration of the SAP system is much more complex as compared to the other systems. The other systems are relatively simpler. Sometimes you can say they can be set up also in shorter time. But in SAP, because of the expertise available, there are a lot of people who will guide you, the consultants will guide you, and hence the implementation has now become fairly simple and quick. And the learning curve also is short, because many of the companies are using SAP, so it's easier to get people who already know SAP when they are joining the organization. Also, once you have learned SAP in one organization, it's very easy to use it in another organization because the transaction codes, etc., the key ones are the same. It will differ only if you have customized the system. That means if you, introduce some custom modules, etc., in that case, it can be different. Quick implementation. So SAP has a straightforward implementation process with minimal customization, and it can be easily integrated with third-party services, enabling efficient cross-enterprise tasks. So we already said how and why it can be quickly implemented. Also, it can be integrated with third-party services. So we talked about, the modules like Salesforce. There are other modules available which are HR oriented, So earlier, before SAP developed or really upgraded their HR module, a lot of people were using the HR module from the competition. So it's easy to integrate this kind of cross-enterprise modules along with SAP. Cross-industry capability. So SAP stands out by the cross-industry boundaries, making it valuable for companies venturing into new industries or expanding their product lines. Now, just to explain this, I have worked in industries which have, the operation starts right from mining, then the extraction of, intermediate, and then converting the intermediate into metal, and then the metal is further converted into downstream products like extrusions, sheet, plates, foil, etc. So you find that the nature of the industry, nature of manufacturing is different all across, but this can be managed in SAP. And that is what we mean by cross-industry capability. Also, what we mean is that it can be used in manufacturing, can be used in assembly, can be used in retail, sales business, etc. So every kind of business, SAP can be configured. Faster financial payback. So although SAP is the second most expensive ERP system, it provides the fastest financial payback in the industry with an average return on investment within 9 months. Now, this may not be true for all industries, but yes, the average return, they have said, is within 9 months. The reason being, because why I'm saying this, the expenditure on implementation of SAP can be huge in terms of the consultants, the architects, your functional experts, your own people, who have to be devoting time, for implementation of SAP, training the people, the users, etc. So it's a major exercise and it's a costly one. So the return may be taking a little longer in certain cases, but because it provides for a better service, better product, better planning, it helps you lower the inventories, it helps you lower the inventory holding cost, so indirectly helping you manage the working capital, etc. So there are various benefits that SAP actually gives you, which contributes to the return on the investment. SAP's versatility, scalability, and user-friendliness, quick implementation, cross-industry capability, and faster financial payback makes it a leading ERP system worldwide. So we have actually gone through this and we know what it means or why it is said so. Trusted by both industry giants and smaller businesses. We have covered that, so I'm not elaborating on this. Now let's come to the SAP journey and the various versions of SAP. So SAP has continuously evolved and released various versions, including SAP R1, R2, R3, with a focus on real-time data processing and three-tier client server architecture. So these are the initial stages of SAP versions. We will come to the version R1 and R2. They were not actually what we call as a client-server architecture, meaning to say they worked on the mainframe concept where the entire computing was done by the mainframe, and there were dumb terminals. Dumb terminals are, you know, they are not like a desktop or a laptop, because they don't have any processing power within them. They only are a display and an input-output device. So that was the case with the earlier versions. The latest release, which is SAP S/4HANA, showcases SAP's commitment to enhancing features and functionalities to cater to diverse industries and businesses worldwide, regardless of size and location. So SAP HANA is I would put it as a highly advanced version of the earlier SAP. It has integrated all the latest best practices from the industry, like we were talking about the demand-driven planning. So this is already integrated into SAP HANA. Also, the web integration, so where you can put up a web page, and any changes that you make in the system will be reflected on your web page. Also, you can receive orders directly from your web page. So, you know, your customers or even your vendors can actually interface with the system through your web pages. So with its highly customizable nature, SAP has become a trusted solution for businesses across various sectors, from chemical companies to FMCG, enabling streamlined operations and empowering business users. Self-explanatory, so I will not try to explain this any further. So here we are looking at the SAP journey. So the company was formed in 1970. 72, they released the R1, and then they went to R2, R3. You can see the years in which they have done this. So like R2 was introduced in 1972. 1992, they came out with R3, which was the first version with the client-server configuration. That means the computing is not done in the server, but the computing is done, or part of the computing is done in the client itself. So the client is the laptop or the desktop that you're using, you know, to interface with the system. And this makes the system much faster. It puts less load on the server, because the server then basically does the recording of the data. And then we have in 2004, the MySAP ERP. Subsequently in 2008, you had the business suite. And now 2015 onwards, you have the S/4HANA. And we will look at what are the advances that have happened, you know, during this upgradation, or the various versions that have been introduced by SAP. Coming to the implementation. So what are the preparations required if you want to implement SAP? So ERP project requires different resource allocation based on the company size. It's fairly common. I mean, if you have a very small company of, let's say, 30, 40 employees, then the kind of effort required will be different from a company employing 1,000 employees. And the nature of the business, the complexity of the business in terms of number of raw materials, number of products. So the resources will be required will depend upon the size and operations of the company. Larger companies can assign multiple senior executives and teams, while smaller companies have fewer resources but require less detailed planning. Regardless of size, all ERP projects should follow the same essential steps during the planning phase. So whether it's a small company or it's a large corporate, the steps for ERP implementation are more or less standardized, and they are the same. And we'll go through those and why is it so. Pre-implementation steps are almost common for all ERP implementations. So this is what we have seen, that the process for implementation, the scale may vary, but the process remains essentially the same. So what are the steps for ERP implementation? First and foremost, you have to get hold of an ERP consultant. That means somebody who has done a couple of ERP implementations. because then they are experienced in what are the challenges. They are also equipped to handle the change management. Then you have to establish a team which is going to be in charge, which will have a project manager. Now, there will be a consultant, external consultant, but there will be a project manager who can be either he can be outsourced, that means he can be a consultant, or he can be somebody from within the organization. Then you have the partners. Partners could be, you know, from your the other modules which you want to integrate. People from, you know, those companies who will be interfacing with the team for integration, seamless integration of the modules with SAP. Technical architects and analysts. So again, these are mostly outsourced. They are the people who have done a number of projects and they know exactly how the technical architecture, and they are the ones who will help you define the configuration, you know, of your system, how it is to be configured, how do you identify the various entities within the organization, like for example, different plants, how do you name the plants, how do you name different storage locations, how do you configure them so that, you know, for taxation purpose or even for like GST or other taxes, how the treatment will be for this different components within the business. And finally, the end users. End users, they are going to use the system. And however good a tool may be, the utility of the tool or the outcome will depend upon who is using that tool and how equipped or skilled he is. So, you know, the end user training is very, very important so that they make full use. Because I have seen companies which implement ERP systems, but when you look at the utilization of the system, you find that the system is not even used 50% of the capability. And a lot of features which can really, help the business grow are not being utilized. And there are things which are being done manually. Even I have seen that people, you know, in an ERP system will download the data, take it into Excel, process it offline, and then take decisions. Now, if you have to do that, then you are wasting your money on the ERP system. Prepare a training program for employees for each business module. So when you talk of HR, the HR people have to be trained. When you talk of the finance and controlling, then those people have to, because ultimately the goal is that they make the best use of the system, which will benefit the business and the company. Select which modules to include in the system. So like I said, you know, initially you may not actually go for all the modules. You may go only for the modules which are very necessary for your business. But as you grow, as you go along, you may want to add more modules. As the complexity of your business grows, you want to add more modules or tools, you know. So this has to be decided at the onset, that what you would like to go with immediately and what you would like to keep it for a later upgradation.